No sprints, okay?
How funny, how funny. I tell you what, I love that, Pastor Dave, and can't wait to see Debbie when she gets back. You know what's so sweet about this church? It's that it's a multi-generational church. And I just fell in love with your tender heart today, and I am just so pumped about what I see in these young people. These young people are kingdom and national leaders right here. Just wait and see. Go ahead. Praise God. Just absolutely awesome. What a great... Thank you for coming on Sunday night. It's so great. Your hunger is here. I feel it. It's going to be a great night. I made a statement, and it's going to happen tonight. We are going to have wave after wave of genuine, personal, spiritual experiences. How many of you are ready? How many of you want something from the Lord? Now, tomorrow night, I want you to be here, and I'm going to be teaching something. I'm going to teach you how to teach. Socrates says you know your subject when you can teach somebody something, and they can take it and give it to the next generation, and they get it. So I'm going to be teaching you on how to teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It'll be biblical. It'll be a perfect night to bring Christian friends of yours who've never been introduced to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It'll be Bible, 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 hardly anything but Bible. Bring your Bible. But if you've heard it so many times, it's a part of your spiritual heritage, come, because I believe I'm going to help you learn how, over coffee, to share with others the beautiful baptism of the Spirit. Does that sound good? I want you to come and be a part of it. Now, tomorrow night I'm here, and then Tuesday night, Pastor Ronnie Woods. When Pastor Ronnie Woods was 22 years old, he got out of CBC and was asked to be the lead pastor, the senior pastor at the most difficult city racially in Arkansas, Pine Bluff. And everybody said, "You're 22, don't go do it." And he went there, and the church exploded for the glory of God. He went to Memphis, raised up a church that was in distress there, and now you know about him, your neighbor over here in Broken Arrow, but you want to hear him. This is what I think is going to happen. Brother Ronnie is going to bring a powerful message, and then Coach Duran, Denny, is going to be here Wednesday night. Now, let me tell you what Denny's going to do. Denny's going to walk up here with a rhema word for that night written on a handkerchief from Wendy's. Because I've seen him do it. In fact, as I was a football player traveling with him, we would go to these churches after games on Saturday, and he would get a Wendy's napkin and write this word from God that would just rock the house, that was fresher than the ink on the napkin. And I just couldn't stand him, because I had to study to get something to say. And he just lives under this. It's going to be powerful. Now, let me tell you something about Denny Duran to make you be motivated to go speak and invite people to come. People don't know who Denny Duran is, but I was pastoring in Birmingham, and Dennis Franchione was at a golf tournament that it was in. You may not know of him, but you've heard of Nick Saban. Dennis Franchione was the head coach of the University of Alabama a couple of coaches before Nick Saban. And at this golf tournament, we were eating burgers, and somebody said, "Coach Franchione wants to talk to you." I'm just a young pastor. So I was escorted across the room. I said, "Yes, sir, it's great to meet you." He said, "I heard you played for Denny Duran." I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "When I was a young coach in Kansas, I used to coach against Denny Duran as a young man. He was young and I was younger. And I always knew when Denny brought a team, it was going to be a well-oiled and a well-coached team." How is he doing? So I had the head coach of the University of Alabama asking me about his peer in the coaching business. But of course, Denny didn't go on to coach Division I. He went back and pastored his dad's church. He'll be here Wednesday night. Told him what Denny was doing, and I walked away. And as I walked away, I realized this. Denny Duran turned away Division I football coaching money to obey the call of God upon his life. He turned away Nick Saban money to come here Wednesday night to bring a word. You can't pay him what he's worth. Can I tell you that? Go ahead and give the Lord a hand. It's going to be awesome. If I was not closing on a house, I'd be here. I'm closing Thursday. I'm getting out of that condo. So praise the Lord. My wife's saying, I am not moving those boxes by myself. So are you ready just to get in the Word a little bit and honor the Lord? Are you hungry for the Lord? Turn the palms of your hands toward heaven and let's just welcome the Lord. Lord, thank you for this time together. We just pray your Holy Spirit would be real and genuine. Lord, once again, we pray for Marty. We just want to focus on him. And we know that the Holy Spirit can move as he chooses with gifts of healing. And we would just ask, it seems like, you know, all of us have our issues, but we really, Lord, we want to focus our faith on doing a wonder and a miracle in the life of Marty in the name of Jesus. Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, we just loose the Spirit of God into this powerful place of his body and into this room in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Ron's going to bring a powerful message. Denny's going to bring a message from the Word of the Lord on a Wendy's napkin. But I'm here to just exercise you into godliness, just to have some spiritual reps to get you ready for the Holy Spirit using you in a greater way. I want to have a little review because this is really part two. Remember, I said we're in the time of crazy now because the world got tired of meaningless in a world of Darwinism and science only and no God or no meaning. There's no meaning just in science. So they went into whatever's meaning. It doesn't matter if it's connected to science or reality. Just whatever's meaningful for you, go ahead and do it. And I'm wondering, what's after this? What's the next stage? Because that is so chaotic. And thousands of millennials across America are saying, our culture is crazy. What is next? The reading, a gentleman by the name of Jordan Peterson, by the thousands of millennials, and he's somebody that's saying, your postmodern, everybody do their own thing is not working. It's just chaos. And he's written a book, The 12 Laws to Overcome Chaos. And this is what he says. And I'm telling you, because your genuine personal experience is so important, not only for today, but for tomorrow. And he's this intellectual that all the millennials are reading. Jordan Peterson is saying, now we know that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament aren't the same God, and that's not true. The Bible's just myth, but we got to exit chaos somehow. We've got to exit crazy somehow, and we've got to move into a more orderly world. So the only thing we can do, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. This is the next way. It's to know that God is not real and the Bible is not true, but we just got to act like it is anyway. Go ahead and laugh. That's what he's saying. Because without it, we don't have any moorings. We don't have any values. We don't have any structure. We don't have any foundation. It's not true. But the only way we're going to be able to survive as a people is just to act like it's true. That's the next wave. That's where you're going to college. That's what you're facing. That's what millennials are reading. They're hungry. And you're here on the front rows craving God. And that's why I want to say, as I said today, when we know the Lord, we are based in reality of a created earth. Got science involved, and we have a God who has made himself known in a personal way. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I want you to notice three ways that God has spoken. We are people of reality. We are people of not make-believe. We are people who live in truth because we declare there is a creator God who has spoken to us. Now, if God didn't speak, he wouldn't be a personal God. And what kind of friend or God would that be if he created the world, but he wouldn't speak to us? How many of you are glad that God loves you so much, he wants to speak to you in a personal way?
So look at Hebrews 1, and I want you to see three things that he's done. In years past, God spoke through the prophets, but I want you to see three things. But in these days, he's spoken in three different dimensions. He's spoken through his Son. Look on that verse and see the word Son. Look up on this verse, Hebrews 11. See the word Son? When you see the word Son, say Son. He's spoken through Jesus. God has spoken to us through Jesus. Not only has he spoken to us and communicated us by sending his Son in the flesh, Jesus, it says he has spoken to us out of the universe or the created order. When you see the word universe, say universe. That means good science is our friend. We're not afraid of good science because it is our Father's world. God created this mud ball. Hallelujah, he did a pretty good job. Amen. So we have a Son that's spoken to us, a relationship with Jesus. We have the created world that we can enjoy. How many of you ever been out on the lake and felt the presence of God? Oh, come on, I'm going to say that again. How many of you been out? I'm not saying on Sunday when you should have been church, but I'm saying, how many of you ever been out on the lake and felt the presence of God? Everyone, I'm going to, surely, because his glory's out there in the created order. And then walk, and he has spoken to us by his powerful word. His Son Jesus, the universe, the wonder and the glory of it all. And through his powerful word, he is a personal God, and he speaks to you, and he wants to walk with you, and you can have genuine personal spiritual experiences. And if you go down to Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to see something. How terrible it is if we neglect this great salvation, which was confirmed to us through over 500 eyewitnesses. Are we there? But look what else. He testifies to us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is real through signs and wonders and moving of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not just a churchgoer. You're not just a good little old Christian here in Oklahoma. You are a strategic, prophetic advocate of truth given to our culture, our nation, our America, and this generation. And we need to have an experience with the living God that has made himself known through his Son, through the universe, through the Word, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, so we can strut through a confused day and say, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he's committed unto me against all the confusion around me. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to do something. I want us just to open our lives up and take a journey into genuine personal spiritual experiences. It's kind of amazing. Romans chapter 11, verse number 1 is really an intriguing verse that I want you to look at. I'm intrigued. I think this is going to happen. Certainly happened from the pastor with you through the years that you've been in this church. It's going to happen Tuesday night with Brother Woods. It's going to happen a lot with Denny Duran. Paul says, I wish I could get in a room with you. Romans 1, look at that. I wish I could get in a room with you. I wish I could get where you are. Because if I could get in the same room with you, spiritual gifts would be exchanged. Now that is kind of woo. Think about that. He's saying, oh, if I could just get in the room with you. If I could just be where your heart is hungry for God, the Lord would show up by his Spirit, and some of the things that are overflowing in me might overflow in you, and some of the things that you've received could come back. How many of you have connected with godly people and you love them and appreciate them, and after being around them for a while, some of those things started showing up in your life? Hallelujah. Paul is saying, when you get in a room with people that are hungry for the work of the Holy Spirit, get ready, because there is an impartation, there is an exchange, there is a common community a transposing of spiritual gifts from heaven to one another for His glory and for His kingdom. And I want to tell you, I want you to look around. I want you to swivel head. There's people here that's fought a lot of battles, won a lot of battles, got a lot of scars for the glory of God, prayed a lot of prayers, read a lot of Bible, and there's going to be some stirring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit going here, there, and everywhere. Hallelujah. Because God wants to do a work in our life and in our city. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise for that right now. It's going to happen. I was invited to a Greek Orthodox festival where they have a lot of food and friends of ours in Birmingham. And I said, yeah, I'd like to go and get some Greek fare. And so we went, and I don't know that all Greek Orthodox churches are this way, but this one was. You cannot just go in there anytime you want to worship. Only members can go. And so it was a special day where they opened you up, where you could go into the church without being a member. I'm just raised Assembly of God, experienced kingdom life in a way that most of us are familiar with. But I was stunned. As I walked into this Greek Orthodox church, in the foyer, there's a piece of furniture. There were pieces of furniture all over their sanctuary. Hand me that water, please. And as it was explained to me what the furniture was out in the foyer and what that one was over here and what this one was over here and what over there, I go, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. For every piece of furniture they had in their church, I had had a genuine, personal, spiritual experience that was represented to them by a piece of furniture. It was, are you tracking with me? Okay, let me say it again. Every piece of furniture represented something in the Bible. But for them to keep it alive, they would build a piece of furniture so people would walk by there and not forget that. But as a spirit-filled young man, I like, that's not a piece of furniture to me. That's a genuine personal experience that I've had with the Lord. Transformational. This one, that one, this one over here, this one. All, and it was like, wow, wow. This Greek Orthodox has these biblical experiences, but it's kind of morphed into a piece of furniture. God doesn't need us to be just sticks of wood in the kingdom. God needs us to open up our hearts and have an encounter with Him and let everything that's available in the body of Christ that is genuine and personable really take place in our life. So the first piece of furniture in there was a piece of furniture that represented being born again or being regenerated. And I want you to do something, and I want you to go with me, and I want you to recall what happened when you were born again. Because when you were saved, that was a genuine, personal, spiritual experience. And I want you to just remember that time that we all shared, if we've really all been saved. I was talking to Pastor Dave about that moment when he was in high school. There was a time in your past that was real. When you started getting what we call under conviction. I want you to nod at me if you remember that. Come on, nod your head a little bit. It was like an uneasiness. It was like, I'm not where I need to be. Do you remember that moment in your life? It was like, there's some people that's got something that I don't have. And you really didn't know what to do about it. But after that uneasiness of conviction, I want you to go to that moment in your life. It was real and it was genuine. And the world needs to know about that as it happened to you. Somebody asked you to pray a sinner's prayer. And it was so simple. Your beloved pastor, as a young high schooler, started getting under conviction. He went to a Baptist church, and he said, I couldn't hardly wait for that preacher to quit flapping his lips so I could run down and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Somebody say, praise the Lord for that. And look what it says. Over in John, Jesus walks into the disciples' room behind locked doors, and he says this. He says, peace be unto you. Peace. Remember what the 70 deliver? What living the Spirit? We deliver peace. Jesus said, peace be to you. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And that church had a piece of furniture out there that was the regeneration. It's called regeneration. Why is being born again called regeneration? It's because all humans have a spirit. But before you're born again, that spirit is dead. That spirit is in a comatose. But when you get born again, Jesus comes in and he regenerates that spirit and you become spiritually alive. Do you know of people that are now serving the Lord that are stunned that they're serving the Lord? In fact, are you kind of shocked that you love the Lord as much as you do? Was there a time in your life when you had no interest in the Word of God? Sitting here in a stranger on Sunday night, talk about the Lord was as foreign to you as anything you would ever want to do, but something's happened. You prayed a sinner's prayer, and you began to get a spiritual appetite, and you began to start enjoying God's people, and you began to enjoy worship and praise, and you began to enjoy the thing. What happened? You were spiritually dead, but you said a sinner's prayer. And the moment you said the sinner's prayer, even though it didn't seem like a big deal, something powerful, supernatural, and personal, and holy took place. God walked into your life through His Son Jesus, and Jesus breathed into your dead spirit the Holy Ghost, and your spirit, man, got up out of its comatose and out of its death, and it stood to attention and said, feed me, I want more of Jesus. Come on, somebody, give praise to the Lord. That was genuine. That is real. That is common of all true Christians. And I want you right now to go back to the time you said your first sinner's prayer. And I want to have a refresher course on a genuine personal spiritual experience that is real. And I want you to pray this prayer after me as if it was your first time. And after we finish it, I want you to give the Lord a praise and a shout for every sin He forgave in your life before that prayer and everyone that He has forgiven since that prayer. Are you ready? Just pray it like it was the first time. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to follow You. I don't have the power to live for You in myself. But by grace am I saved through faith. Forgive me of all my sins and give me the desire to follow You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a shout and a praise for all. Come on. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Come on! Maybe some of you that's been forgiven a lot, give a little bit more loud, okay? You've been forgiven a little, shout a little. If you've been forgiven a lot, praise Him a lot, because that was a genuine spiritual experience. You see, you need to have genuine spiritual experiences. Come here, Mason. There's another genuine personal spiritual experience that was absolutely powerful. Just sit right here. Jesus, just stand right there for a moment. Jesus, this has happened to most of you, and if this hasn't happened to you, you need to have this happen to you real quickly. It's genuine. It's what the world is looking for. And when you have one genuine spiritual experience, it sets you up like a domino effect for the next, 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 and next. Yeah. Jesus walked up to his cousin, John the Baptist, and he was baptized in water. Now, I'm not going to baptize him again. There's no need to it. But how many of you remember when you follow the Lord's command in water baptism? Raise your hand if you remember. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to say out loud what town it was in. Are you ready? One, two, three. Warren, Arkansas. Okay, now I'm going to have another. I'm going to say it. I'm going to count to three, and you name what creek it was in. One. No, okay. You remember your creek. That was real. That was personal. And I want us to revisit it. Because that genuine personal experience is what our culture is craving. A connection with heaven. When you were water baptized, though you remember it or not, the same thing that happened to Jesus happened to you. And the preacher told this how many years ago? He told you, you're going to follow the Lord, and this is why you're doing it in water baptism, because it's a command of the Lord, and if you will obey Him in that command, that'll help you to obey the other commands. Remember when they told you that? They gave you that little pre-baptism talk. And then they also said this. They said, when you're water baptized, you're a testimony to the world that you're following Jesus and you're dying to your old way of living and you're being raised up to newness of life. And you need to go public for Jesus. And you didn't know if you wanted to do it, so finally you did. But I want you to look at this verse because there's three things in that verse that maybe you really didn't realize when you were water baptized that we need to revisit. When Jesus was baptized, look at that, Mason. He was baptized, three things happened. The Holy Spirit was waiting on him when he came up out of the water. I went to Jack Hayford's church. They baptize on Wednesday night, and they teach their people, when you get baptized, expect to be baptized in the Holy Spirit when you come out of the water. It's the most beautiful thing because they've trained the people, and when they come up out of the water, most of them get baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive their prayer language. It's just beautiful. So when you were water baptized, there was a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit waiting for you to take hold of, whether you did or not. Secondly, this is what happened. You came up out of that water and you were now ready to move into a greater dimension of ministry than ever before. After the water baptism took place, Jesus came up out of water and he moved into his ministry. God brought you out of that personal spiritual experience of water baptism so you could serve him at the front door, at the media center, teaching a class, doing something for the Lord, going on a mission trip. You were released to do Christian ministry in a great way. But you know what else happened when you were water baptized? The Father could not resist your obedience. And he was grinning from ear to ear. Yes, the Father God was grinning and he was well pleased with you. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to act like I'm baptizing Mason here. What a mighty man of God. And I'm going to take him down in this invisible water. And when he comes up, I want you to go back to that time you were water baptized. And I want you to come up out of your seat with praise, thanking God that he's given you an opportunity to serve him in various ministries and asking him to use you in more ministries. I want you to open up your heart and let the Holy Spirit touch you anew and afresh. And I want you to bask in the Heavenly Father smiling over you because you've pleased him. Are you ready? I baptize you. Now, when I bring him up, you come to your feet and give the Lord praise. I baptize you in the name of the Father. When you come up, the Holy Spirit's waiting on you. When you come up, new ministry is for you. When you come up, the Father's going to be grinning. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Come on up. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. God, we praise you. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship the Lord now. Praise Him. Thank Him for using you. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a greater dimension of ministry to be released on everyone standing right now. You water baptize these people to come up so you could be pleased with them, so they could obey more commands, so the Holy Ghost could be upon them, and so they could be servant leaders for your glory. And we release ministry, 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 ministry in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around and say, I'm having a good time tonight. Go ahead, turn around and tell 3 people, I'm having a good time. I want the gentlemen to come and serve you. I want our gentlemen and ushers to come right now. Because you've had some genuine personal spiritual experiences. You've been born again. That's real. It was revealed through Jesus. It's revealed through the Word. You were water baptized. But there's another genuine personal experience. In a world that's left reason and reality because they're just looking for meaning. Jesus, on the last night that He was with us, He gathered His disciples. And He said this, I hope the gentlemen can come, and we might need some more men because I don't want to take a lot of the time to serve. Yeah, thank you. Here they are. They're just, look at them serving. Jesus said this, if you don't mind, start with me. He said, I want you to do something with me for the rest of your life. The Greek Orthodox Church had a bowl for water baptism. They had a piece of furniture in the foyer so you could get saved and come into the sanctuary. And they had a communion table, a cup, a chalice. The Lord said, I don't want your faith to ever be impersonable. So what I want you to do is to know I'm cooking dinner for you. I'm going away to prepare you a place. But between now and when your seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb is given you, I want you to continue to have a meal with me. I want you to do it quite commonly. Don't just do it a few times, but when you come together, I want you to come and I want you to take the bread and I want you to take the cup and I want you to remember that everything we do together is personable. In fact, it's so personable. Listen to what He said. When you eat the bread, you are remembering my body that was given for you. And when you drink the blood, don't ever forget I loved you so much that my hands were pierced and my forehead was pierced so your sins could be forgiven. Now the Catholics kind of take it to a place that we really don't see, that they say actually the bread and the blood becomes the body of Christ. We don't have a lot of biblical clarity for that. But at least they understand that when you take of the Lord's Supper, it is so personable and meaningful. And I want you right now to take the bread and the cup and hold it in your hand. And I want you to go to a personal spiritual spot that's real. Look at it. It's all through your Christian journey when you had failed and messed up, and the pastor said, before we partake of the cup, let's search our hearts to see if there's anything that needs to be forgiven. And through the years and the decades, and maybe just a few months if you're a new Christian, every time the cup and the bread has been in your hand, and there was sin or compromise or failure in your life, and you wanted Jesus to forgive you before you had dinner with Him, He forgave you every time. Can you say praise the Lord for that?
And I want you to right now to take the cup and know that when you have taken this bread and this cup, you have had a genuine, personal, spiritual experience that the world needs to know about. Let's eat the cup, eat the bread, and drink the cup together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's real. It's genuine. It's personal. It's dinner with the Lord. So a personal, genuine experience given to us by the Word of God, made real by the Spirit of the Lord, from the words of Jesus, puts you in a unique territory. You are connected to the planet, but you have found meaning in the invisible realm of the Holy Spirit. There's another genuine personal experience. And I'm not going to be here long. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be here very long because we're going to be in detail tomorrow night. But it is genuine. And it is personable. And when I was in that Greek Orthodox church, raised, my grandpa was a mountain man who had his mule and he'd kiss his wife and two daughters, my mother and his son, goodbye. And on Saturday, he'd go up into the Ozarks or the Boston Mountains to preach the gospel to people who had never heard the gospel. Went to a Smith Wigglesworth meeting, got baptized in the Holy Spirit. From that time on, my family was a Pentecostal, charismatic, Holy Ghost family. And when I went to that Greek Orthodox church, I walked by a piece of furniture, and it was called Holy Ghost Unction. And I thought, oh my goodness, they even recognize the work of the Holy Spirit as something that's real in the Bible. But for many of them, it's a piece of furniture. But for us, it was when Jesus Himself baptized us with the Holy Spirit. You know what's so precious about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When you were baptized into the body of Christ, it was the Holy Spirit that came in and baptized you and regenerated you into the body of Christ. When you were baptized in water, it was the preacher that baptized you in water and you came up as a witness for Jesus. But when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you received your prayer language, it was Jesus Himself who personally took you and immersed you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you came up speaking with other tongues, filled, hallelujah, with the power of the Lord. It was real. It was genuine. It was personal. And it says right here in Acts chapter 2, it says, after that, the day of Pentecost arrived, and they were all there, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. I want you right now, if you've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit, to go back to that moment when you first received your spiritual language. Would you go back to that point? That was real. That was genuine. And aren't you thankful you have a pastor that's not going to lead this church without giving the young people of this city a chance to experience the genuine power of the Holy Spirit? Go ahead and say praise the Lord for spiritual leadership, that is a priority in their life. I want to tell you my experience. It was kind of unique. I'm a preacher's kid. My dad's pastor in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I'm 13 years old. And I'm kind of serving the Lord, but I'm not on fire at all. In fact, I'm embarrassed because my dad brought in evangelists from Southwestern Bible College to preach. And this guy was okay. He had one of those Volkswagen minivans type back in the 70s. You remember those? And this guy was so out there, he embarrassed me. I couldn't believe my dad brought him to our church. He had a big old speaker on his Volkswagen van. And he had a microphone.
And this was his evangelism method. Wouldn't work today. He'd drive around strip malls and Evelyn Hills Shopping Center, and he'd see somebody with his microphone on his speaker. Static. Sir, you over there with that blue shirt, just want you to know I'm holding revival tonight at Central Seminary. Love for you to come, hear a message. I'm going to have a fresh word from God. Hope you can come. God bless you. See you tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm going, Dad, you have brought the strangest person in the world. And he was really a little bit unique. But the guy fasted and prayed. And I remember, I'm standing there, and this youth pastor was preaching. All the college kids and the high school kids were up there, and I'm just barely out of junior high. And they're all up there, and you can see they're just reaching out to God. And I clearly remember thinking, this is good. This is really good. I'm glad our youth group is getting touched, because maybe that means my daddy won't get voted out. I like my dad having a job, so if the kids are getting in there, maybe people will keep him longer. That's how spiritual I was. And that guy came over and laid hands on me. And the next thing I knew, I was on my back underneath the piano, and rivers of living water was flowing out of my mouth. And I was speaking in tongues as a 13 or 14-year-old. And the power of the Holy Spirit became real and genuine and personal to me. And I really didn't even have the hunger level to deserve it. But praise God, I've never been the same. Can you praise the Lord? And this is what I want us to do. I want us to go back, maybe do a youth revival when you first received your prayer language, or a revival, or someplace where you go back there in your mind. And I want you to think of your hunger for the Lord and your apprehension, and you didn't know what it was all about, but yet you was available for the Lord, and you stretched out in faith, and the Lord was gracious enough to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I hope you're here tomorrow night. We're going to lead you in a biblical directive on how to open your heart and prepare you for it. But I'm just going to count to three right now. One more time. I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to get to your feet. And I want you to just begin to praise the Lord like you did that first time you were baptized in the Spirit. As you began to pray and the Lord begins to renew that spiritual utterance, feel free to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've never received your prayer language, that's okay. Just pray in English in your understanding. But let's celebrate the reality of the genuine experience of the power of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? One, two, three. Stand to your feet and go back to that time you first received. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We thank you and we magnify you in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. I want to thank you for reaching down. I want to thank you for reaching down to me when I didn't even know what it was all about. I was just surveying a youth group. And Lord, your Holy Spirit filled my life. Hallelujah. Out of my innermost being, rivers of living water. Begin to flow out of my heart, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you for the comfort of the Spirit. I want to thank you for the reproving of the Spirit. I want to thank you for the empowering of the Spirit. I want every one of you to speak a language right now. Speak a language, either in English or in a heavenly language as the Spirit gives utterance. Either one of the two. Either in English, just begin to praise Him for your family. Begin to thank Him for His blessings. Hallelujah. Or begin to allow the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Rama barreshe le berele de 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 porraco seta la lo no bocaya. Sete le de 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 porrashete. Just keep praying that way. This is real. This is genuine. This is right now, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus has you, and He's immersing you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Just let it flow. The Bible says, stir the gift of God up in within you. Let it flow. Hallelujah. If you've never received your prayer language, don't worry about it. Just pray in your understanding. Lord, I love you. Just praise Him in English. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I hunger for you. I desire you. I hunger for you.
This is eternal, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. Just keep praying another 2 minutes, then we'll move on. Lord, I bless you. Just keep praying another 2 minutes. English or your heavenly language. I want everyone that's received their prayer language, just go ahead and take a liberty to pray in it. This is a Holy Spirit conference. There's people here that's never heard it. They've never experienced. They don't even know that the book of Acts is still taking place today. Hallelujah, Lord, we bless you. Glory and honor and praise to your name. Le ramare shikaria moremekeye. We absolutely know what the 120 were saying in tongues in the book of Acts. The people in their foreign tongue heard them in their mother tongue declaring the marvelous works of God. So hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just declare the marvelous works of God. Lord, you're awesome to save. You're awesome to deliver. You're awesome to provide. Lord, we declare your marvelous works in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. This is real. This is genuine. This is personal. This is eternal. This is biblical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated for a moment. I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. Have y'all had a good time tonight? I've taken through these spiritual exercises to get you to the next place. Everything we've done is preparatory for what's about to happen. Because what we really need is what Moses' desire was. Not that Pastor Dave has all the anointing and y'all don't have any. Or Denny Ron comes in with a word from the Lord on a Wendy's napkin and it rocks this place. Or Pastor Ronnie has this powerful word. But what we need is you operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not just in church. I had every chapter in the book of Acts. I was going to take you through every chapter in the book of Acts and talk about personal spiritual experiences that happened in the book of Acts. I ran out of time this morning, but I was going to do it just to show you that it happens outside of church. They were on their way to pray, and they saw a lame man, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." But I want to talk to you about one more thing. And I hope you don't turn me into the District Assemblies of God for heresy for preaching Greek Orthodox stuff. Because what they had was right, it's just turned into a piece of furniture. While we have the real experience. And our world is saying experience is the only thing that where you can find meaning. Do you get that piece of what I've been trying to say all day? You know what else they had at the Greek Orthodox Church? You may have heard. They had icons. They had pictures of ancient Christian fathers. First century, second century, third century spiritual leaders. That had great spiritual depth and richness and anointing. And we wouldn't put them up in our sanctuary because we wouldn't want to idolize any human. But somehow, they realized that if the church was going to go on, some of the richness of the anointing of the patriarch, men of God that was there, and women of God that had prayed and released God in generations past, we couldn't forget them. We couldn't let the touch of heaven that was on them not be a part of our day and our generation. So they would have these icons or pictures of these second century leaders, and they would walk by and they would never forget how they took the gospel here or they took the gospel there. There is something about impartation.
There's something about being around a mighty woman of God as a young lady, and you heard your grandmother pray, or you heard that prayer warrior pray, and you didn't know how to pray, but you knelt beside Grandma or Aunt Beulah, whoever, so, and you, almost by osmosis, you began to enter into powerful prayer because of impartation that was on Grandma that came in your life. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Say amen right now. Some of you watched your daddy walk in integrity during tough times, and you know how to bow your back because Papa showed you how to bow your back and be a man of integrity. I want you, there's something to be said about being around godly heroes, because not that they're trying to say be like me, but there is an overflow of Paul says, if I could get in a room with you, what is in me will get on you, and there will be exchange of spiritual gifts. Wow.
I'm pastoring over in Arkansas. In Cabot, 3 years ago. We're having an Easter egg hunt. And look at 2 Timothy. Impartation. Paul says, I'm just so thrilled. I pray when I think about you young people. And look what he said. You know what thrills me? I knew your grandmother. She had the touch of heaven on her life. Look at that. Have you found Grandma yet? What's Grandma's name? What was it? Lois. Oh, and I knew your mom. What's her name? What Grandma had? What Mom walked in? I'm so thrilled. I see it on you, Grace. See it. See it in you. In other words, impartation is taking place. I'm going to the Easter egg hunt. And over at Cabot, I mean, it's like you put the Easter eggs out there in Arkansas. There are hundreds of people come. And I got about a 15-minute drive to the church. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm going to meet strangers at this Easter egg hunt. And we're going to wind this thing down. But I'm going to tell you something that was a surprise to me that happened to me that I think is biblical and real that I stumbled into. And I believe it's available for you. I'm driving to all these lost souls. And we had a pastor in Arkansas that was kind of old-fashioned, but I loved him. His name was Bobby Johnson. Bobby Johnson. Passed on at 72. Pastor in Van Buren, Arkansas. Bobby was kind of my hero in one regard, many regards, but one especially. He always kept the main thing the main thing. For him, it was all about soul winning. Every Saturday, he'd start, and he'd go knock on apartment doors and bring little kids to Super Church, and the children's souls in his community, it was kind of like the old Tommy Barnett feel, and he just never got past winning children to Jesus. Can you say praise God for that? I started thinking about Bobby. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. And I said, Lord, Bobby Johnson's not here anymore. I love Brother Johnson. He's with you. And I can never be the man that Bobby Johnson is or was. But somebody needs to fill that void since he's gone. And would you just give me a little slice of the burden for unsaved children that Bobby Johnson lived in all the days of his ministry? I said, Lord, somebody needs to live with that burden for children. And then I began to go on a spiritual odyssey. Stay with me. And I began to think about great pastors and men and women of God that influenced me. I said, Lord, Brother Farrell's with you now. These are all old-time Arkansas preachers. He had the fire and the zeal of the Lord upon him to his dying day. And he's not here anymore. But Lord, would you just give me a portion of the zeal and the fire of the Holy Ghost that Brother Farrell had? Lord, Brother Lindsay that pastored over at Bethany in Oklahoma City and and over in Covina, California, and Russellville, the chief preacher. He was a church planter. He started churches all over the country. Lord, Brother Lindsay's not here anymore. He's been with you for years, but would you just give me a little slice of a desire to plant churches? And you know what I did? I began to call out different men and women of name. It wasn't general. It wasn't some vague, but I began to pinpoint the specific strength of their ministries. I began to, in detail, saying they made a difference for Jesus because of this particular strength that they lived in. And I said, Lord, my dad's tenderness and kindness, he's with you now. Lord, I hear so many tell me that Don Duval was one of the kindest men they've ever met. And would you let just a portion of his tender heart be in me? Women, men, I wasn't praying to the dead. I was respecting the touch of the Holy Spirit upon their life. And when I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. But when I got out of the car to walk out to greet our community at the Easter egg hunt, the Spirit of the living God was dripping, flowing all over me. It was like Bobby Johnson's love was touching children. It was like Don Duval's kindness was reaching hardened daddies that really didn't want to be there. It was like Brother Farrell's enthusiasm was still alive on the earth today. It was like the strength of this man. And it was like, because I wanted it, God gave it to me. You know, Brother Dave, you've had some spiritual leaders. I know one thing. Herschel Brummett meant a lot to you. What was it specifically, you don't have to answer, about Herschel Brummett that made you love him and appreciate him? What was it specifically? Arnold Newbern touched your life. What was it about his walk that you would like replicated in your days? I wonder if you ask God for it, if he says, I need somebody to live there. Robert Spence, Denny Duran, on and on and on. And this is what I want you to do. I believe in the power of impartation. And I believe God needs to give you a slice of what other great men and women of God that impacted you, blessed you with. So this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. We're about to close. And this is what I want you to do. Praise team can come to their instruments. Have you had a good time tonight? I want you to do this. I want you to go through this spiritual exercise because I believe in the power of impartation. I love Denny Duran. When you hear Denny Duran Wednesday, you're going to see that we're little kind of junior varsity Denny Durans. And that's a good thing. Because he loved us so much to pour himself into us. And I want you to think right now, this is work. But I want you to go back in time and I want you to think of four Christians that impacted your life. Four. I want you to have a fist. I want you to think of one, and I want you to tell the Lord what it was about their Christian life that impacted you. And then I want you to ask God to give you a portion of what they had on them. And I want you to go to that. Then I want you to go to 2, 3, and 4. And I'm telling you that at the end of clearly, specifically identifying what it was about their walk with God that touched you, the Lord's going to release it on you. And you are going to impact others.